now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. This is the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, as always, Commissioner Gordon. I'd like to welcome you in this week. Oh my goodness, this week we have so much to unpack. Reese, is so much to unpack. First of all, I want to start off with that the NBA draft is tonight. It is tonight at 8 o'clock. And next week, what I want to do is I'm going to cover a lot of the draft. I'm going to recap a lot of that stuff that's going on, a lot of the trades. It's a lot going on in the NBA. Like, it's a lot of moves being made. James Harden wants out. Chris Paul is gone. Russell Westbrook wants out. It's a lot going on right now. So I want to recap that because I want to have a lot of that stuff done. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to give you a lot of speculation. I don't want to give you a lot of rumors. I want to give you it's happened. So I just want to say, make sure you tune in tonight, 8 o'clock, NBA draft. Check it out. Also, moving forward from there, NCAA is going crazy. It's COVID all over these college campuses, and it's games canceling left and right. I want to get into that because at some point in time, the NCAA, your president, former president Donald Trump, he made people believe that these kids were safer on campus, quote unquote, isolated. They were safer on campus than they would be at mom's crib, right? Wrong. Everybody got COVID. And on top of that, I want to get in, before we get into all of that too, there's a story that's been going crazy. To me, it's been going crazy because of the amazement, is that the sexual assault scandal at LSU. I don't think it's getting enough coverage. I think people are talking about it, but they're glossing over it. You know, it's not getting national recognition. Like, it's printed in the USA Today. I think ESPN had an article talking about it. I've heard a couple people on radio, maybe a podcast or two, talking, just mention it and just kind of keep going as if it's par for the course. But I don't think in 2020, in 2015, 2016, 17, 18, 19, in this time period when this stuff is taking place, I don't think this is par for the course at all. I think this is an indictment on the culture of college football that, as I just referenced back to with the whole COVID thing, that they'll do anything for a buck. They'll do anything to keep the players on the field. They'll do anything and don't care about anyone else other than their pockets. So, and then I won't get into that too much right now. What I will do is I'll go from there and I'll go and pick up and we'll talk about the NFL because a lot has gone on in the NFL. And I'll give you my predictions. Just a quick secret. Your boy out here still above 500 with the picks. Yes. Yes. If you listen to me, I still make you money if you bet straight up. So, without any further ado, once again, welcome to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am Commissioner Gordon. This episode, just like each and every other episode, is brought to you by Greenwood Whiskey. And shouts out to my people at Greenwood Whiskey. If you're in Atlanta, if you're in the Atlanta area, Greenwood Whiskey is now available. My boys out here doing big things. I got guys hitting me up on social media, you know what I'm saying, that's been listening to the show, hitting me up. Yo, is this Greenwood Whiskey really good? Yo, I see this Greenwood Whiskey over here. Yo, let me check it out. And they put up posts. They put up videos. They've done a lot of stuff, and everyone who I've spoken to have all had great reviews about Greenwood Whiskey. I hadn't heard nobody say, hell nah, that ain't no damn good whiskey. I heard everybody say, yo, this smooth, dog. I love it. I'm gonna hit it again. This is the drink from now on. So once again, shouts out to my people at Greenwood Whiskey. KG, I'm gonna get you on the show. I gotta get you out here. We gotta chop it up. I know you love sports, and I want you to get out here. We're gonna talk sports. We're gonna talk whiskey, and shoot, we might just talk, you know, about some old stuff that we used to do. You know what I'm saying? So shouts out to Greenwood Whiskey. Anyway, back to this. I'm gonna start at LSU because this thing, I've been engulfed with this situation for since I read it the first time. I couldn't believe it. So in case you haven't really heard the situation, what's going on is basically since Ed Orgeron has taken over LSU in 2016, I believe at least 9 football players have been accused of sexual crimes. At least 9 players have been accused of sexual crimes. That's a 4-year span. This is, we're talking about 2016. At least 9 players have been accused of sexual crimes. And as far as I can tell, very few have been arrested. Very few have been punished. And the school covers this stuff up so that it can keep players on the field. Because guess what? Last year, what happened? LSU won the national championship. Who was one of the main contributors? Running back Darius Geis. Darius Geis. Let's talk about Darius Geis. Darius Geis was a very good running back for the LSU Bayou Bengals. But in the spring of 2016, a member of the LSU diving team told her coach and the athletic department administrator that Geis had raped her friend after she passed out at a party. Yes, let me say it again. Darius Geis, 2016, has been accused of raping a young woman passed out after a party. You'd think someone would look into that, talk to Darius, talk to the ladies, something, anything. No. Summer 2016, another female student tells a senior athletic administrator that Geis took partially nude photos of her without her permission and shared it with the team equipment manager and possibly others. How did she find out? Somebody else saw it. One of her coworkers saw it and told her. Like, hey, yo, you know, I seen this video of you naked walking to the bathroom. How did he get this video? Now, this is interesting. This is where the story is crazy to me. The young, and I'm recapping the story just briefly. So the young lady tells the story about how she goes out to this bar, whatever the name of the bar is. Don't remember. Don't care. She goes to the bar. All the football and athletics people go. They attend this bar. Has too much to drink. The equipment manager. Yes, the equipment manager that has the video of her walking naked to the bathroom is the same equipment manager that escorted her home. She says she remembers going home. The equipment manager took her home, and he leaves. The next day, the very next day, she gets a text from Mr. Darius Geis saying, is my wallet over there? She's like, what? Why would your wallet be here? But she goes out into her living room and she finds his wallet in like the cushions of the couch. She looks around, her living room is all trashed. And she's like, what the hell? He said, I came over last. He sends a text. I came over last night after the party. So she's merely just concerned about the photos being up. And people seeing the photos, she's embarrassed. Naturally, any young lady would be. Me, as a father of a son and a daughter, I'm more afraid of what happened. She doesn't know what happened. He came over there. You were naked. You were drunk. You were passed out. See what I'm saying? See where this is going? She tells people and they don't believe her. So what happens later? Spring 2017, the athletic department gets a report of a second rape allegation on Mr. Darius Geis. This time by a women's tennis player. Do you see the pattern? But because Geis can run the ball, because Geis is a good football player, you kind of sweep it under the rug. You let the shit go. You don't say anything about it. So if we fast forward, like, keep in mind, he was never disciplined by LSU. Never. So if you fast forward to now, Geis was recently released from the Washington football team. I think it was August 7th, right before season started up. He was released August 7th from the Washington football team after being arrested on three separate domestic violence charges in Virginia. I don't know how any official at LSU can feel comfortable with trading a national championship for endangering women's lives. Because you didn't just affect this one young lady who was raped after she passed out at a party in 2016. And in the summer of 2016, another woman appears to have been raped after she passed out after a party. And in 2017, a third woman was raped after she passed out at a party. The second young lady even went so far as to say that she didn't even want to press charges. She just wanted him to be disciplined. She just wanted him to get it over with. You know, some type of punishment to be involved. And LSU didn't do that. And so she wound up having to transfer schools. Because at that time, he was basically a sophomore. He wasn't going anywhere. She had to leave. And you listen to that and you say, well, damn, well, you know, that's jacked up. How they let Darius Geis just run amok at the school? Hey, man, it wasn't just Darius. Because guess what? LSU has ignored sexual assault from football players and fraternity members. This stuff goes to the top of Title IX officials. And they know all about the incidents and they do nothing. The LSU police, they do nothing. At least four athletes weren't disciplined by the school after being charged with rape. Excuse me, I won't say charged, being accused of rape. Safety Grant Delpit was accused of recording a woman during sex without her knowledge and sharing a video with others. Tay Provins, running back, he was later arrested. But linebacker Jacob Phillips, tight end Zach Schaefer were all accused of rape. And what happened? Nothing. Quarterback Peter Parrish was accused of raping a woman in her car outside of a bar. Did he get arrested? Nope. What happened? He was suspended for a year from the school. Where he later transferred to Memphis after he sued the school for unfair treatment. You rape a woman in her car, you get suspended. You don't go to jail. You sue the school for suspending you. Come on, man. It didn't stop there. Another running back. Receiver, Drake Davis. At least 7 LSU officials had direct knowledge that this receiver was physically abusing his girlfriend over the span of at least about a year and a half. This man was beating and strangling his girlfriend. She told her coach. She told her coach's wife. She told her parents. She told everyone she could think of. And she was quoted as saying, "All I want is for someone to sit him down and tell him that this is not acceptable and don't do it again." She didn't want him arrested. She liked the dude. He should have been arrested. All she wanted was someone to tell him, "Hey man, cut this bullshit out. The hell is wrong with you?" Didn't happen. Never happened. Her father confronted the coach, the tennis coach that is, and the tennis coach told him that it was not possible that this young man was beating on his daughter. Now let me take a pause in that right quick, because I'm 40 years old. I have a daughter, and the first time she tells me that some little dude hit her, it's going to be the last time that little dude hits anybody. He wouldn't even want to ball his damn fists up to snatch a quart out your hand. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not to the point where I'm going to go out there and I'm going to beat his ass. I go out there. No. Because like I said, I'm over 40. And I'm not going to sit here and act tough and tell you I'm going to beat some 20-year-old kid up who works out every day, who's probably like 6'3", about the same height, 6'3", 215, whatever. He's in shape. I'm not. I ain't going to sit out here and tell you I'm going to beat your ass. But guess what? I got a lot of stuff upstairs that you ain't gonna wanna see. Trust me, you ain't gonna wanna see. So, and if you're sitting there like, "Oh, you would kill somebody for beating up your daughter?" Hell yeah. I would have no trouble at all going to jail. And somebody said, "Hey man, what you in here for?" I said, "I killed this dude because he was punching my daughter." I wouldn't have no pressure. I sit in jail like I'm supposed to be there. And I would tell her, "I want, whenever you meet another dude, whenever you meet a guy, in your intro, at some point in time when y'all meeting, y'all dating, at some point in time, I want you to say, 'Hey, I got to go visit my father in prison.'" They say, "What the hell, your dad was in prison for? You selling drugs?" "Nope." "What'd he do? He know, blah, blah, blah." "Nope. He's in prison because my last boyfriend punched me and he shot me." Guess what this boyfriend ain't gonna do? Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't understand as a father how I can see my daughter physically bruised, strangling, you know, bruised around her neck, bruised on her arms, wherever. And then she can come home and tell me that this dude is beating her and strangling her. And I just go to her coach and say, "Hey, this dude is beating on my daughter. I think you should do something." And the coach be like, "Nah, it's impossible. He ain't beating on your daughter." And then that's the extent of it for me. Bruh, you got the wrong one. I'm just here to let you know. And that's why I think I've taken such a kinship to this story, having a daughter. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm sure a lot of people will realize, "Oh, boys will be boys. Bullshit. This is not boys will be boys. I was a young man. I had fun. We had drinks. We did all the stuff you can think of. And guess what? I managed to never rape anyone." Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't just happen. I managed to to never strangle a woman. It doesn't just happen. So, going back, Drake Davis, strangling his girlfriend. And I have to look at this too, I have to be a contrarian as well, because this is a long time. These two were involved for over a year, and I don't understand. I understand she was afraid, but I don't understand how you continuously communicate with someone who's beating on you. But let me go through the timeline. She said she just wanted somebody to sit down and tell him, stop it. No one ever did. Pops goes, talk to the tennis coach, talk to the tennis coach's wife. All of this didn't happen. Keep in mind, they started dating in January of 17. Right? 2017, they started dating. In June 2018, he entered her home. I think it was something like 2 in the morning, supposedly drunk. He entered her home with the key she gave him. I would have gave him the wrong damn key. But but he entered the home with the key she gave him, jumped on her bed where she was laying, and commenced to beating and strangling her. 2 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock in the morning, her roommate hears this and has to call LSU campus police. The campus police comes out, sees this incident, separates the two. And still no arrests. What happened? What kind of discipline did he serve, you ask? Funny you should say so. Guess what happened? Coach told him he was banned from the locker room for summer workouts. You can't go lift weights for the rest of the summer. But guess what? In August, when practice comes back and practice starts back up, you bet your ass he was out there practicing. First day, catch and pass. It's all about this football, baby. Can't let a little beat up, a little domestic violence stop these championships. Get out of here. So, just like Darius Geis, you see what I'm saying? Just like Darius Geis, this stuff has a trickle-down effect. Because you're not affecting just the one life of this person. You're affecting the people that they're beating on. You're affecting their family. You're affecting the next person that they encounter. So he was banned from the weight room, allowed to come back first day of practice. And he was finally arrested August 16th after more photos of bruises and scratches. Also, the young lady produced text messages where he threatened to kill her and told her he thought she should kill herself. So he finally gets arrested on August 16th for that incident. He was arrested a second time on September 16th of 18. When it was found out that he was still seeing the young lady, because after he got arrested in August, I'm sure there was some kind of court order put in place. You know, you got to be so many feet from her, you know, all of that. So it was found out that he was still seeing the young lady. He was still abusing the young lady. And he was charged with battery. And the case went on to March 2019. He was arrested September 18. He didn't have to go to court for it until March 2019, where he pled guilty to 2 battery charges and violating the protective order. 4 months later, the East Baton Rouge Sheriff Department arrests him again for battery against a different woman this time. See how when you don't nip this stuff in the bud, it continues to affect more and more people? Because you want to win a damn football game? You could find a football player in Louisiana. If you threw a rock, you probably hit three folks who can play some damn football in Louisiana. This boy ain't that damn important. So, upon that, LSU later expels Drake Davis in July of 2019, which is 4 months after he's been convicted by this in court. It took 4 months to expel him after this man has been convicted. But guess what? He hadn't been to damn LSU for 10 months. They expelled a man who didn't go to the damn school no more. And you can't think this is okay because we won a national title. Now, the article goes on to give other examples of beyond just football. There's a fraternity kid who does the same thing. They go on like a trip, and he allegedly rapes two women in one night, and he gets what's called a deferred suspension. As long as you don't get in any more trouble, you know, we'll wipe the slate clean. And these women wind up in the classroom with the dude. They are saying that raped them. And they go to teachers and they're saying, oh, I don't feel comfortable with this man being in the class. Or they, not the teachers, they go to the administration. And the administration says, well, you have to change your classes. We're not putting the man out of the class, not putting the accused out. And it's ridiculous. But as far as the football team goes, we've seen this in the past. And yes, we've seen this in the past in the 80s, in the 70s, in the 60s. And that's when they had the boys would be boys and blah, blah, blah. But this can't go on in 2015, 16, 17, 18, and beyond. It just cannot. We've made so many strides as people and understanding each other that to just say, oh, well, maybe she'll get tired. We'll just drag the case out for years and years, and maybe she'll just get tired and forget about it and just drop the case and whatever. It's ridiculous, dog. I don't know what else to tell you. But, you know, Ed Orgeron, LSU officials, they've all made statements. I'm not going to read their statements. You can imagine what they say. Oh, we take sexual assault serious and domestic violence serious, and it won't be tolerated here or there. Not show me. The first time, the next time you show some action, it's going to be damn near the first time you've shown action. So I don't buy any of that. You know what I'm saying? So I hate to, you know, rile you up like that. But it had me riled up. I was angry. I was upset. But I'm just as upset at these damn COVID numbers running around the college campus. And again, I appreciate you for tuning in. If you're tuning in and you're just now listening, this is The Commissioner's Conversation. I'm your host, Commissioner Gordon. Salute. I appreciate you being here. Checking out your boy. Now, I'll say this. Do you remember there was a time period in the beginning, right as the fall, when everybody was trying to figure out how and if college football was going to work out, right? Everybody was trying to figure out how and if college football was going to work out. And most people were leaning. The conferences, Big Ten said, nah, we don't want nothing to do with it. We done. Pac-12 had pretty much done away with it. Ivy League had pretty much said, nah, we good on that. SEC, ACC, a lot of other places said, hey, we finna have this football. Don't know what y'all gonna do. We finna get this money. So, what wound up happening? You had people in place Talking about COVID won't kill you. COVID ain't this. COVID ain't bad. COVID ain't that. And then you had some of these officials who basically said, hey, your child would be safer on this college campus with us than they will with you. Because if they at mama house, they're going to be all over the place. They're going to go to their friend's house. They're going to go down the street. They're going to go to the store. They're going to go to restaurants. They're going to go to the club. They're going to go to party, whatever. They're going to do all of this at mama's house because mama ain't going to keep them in the house. But if they're here with us and they're on campus, they're going to, you know, they'll be isolated. You know, the football team is always isolated from the rest of the population. So even if it's an outbreak with school, we'll be cool. Man, if they went so doggone wrong. So, this week, let's talk about this. First, let's go back to the Ivy League. Ivy League seems to be the one with a level head. Ivy League is simply the one with a level head because the Ivy League is probably the one who least likely needs the money. Everybody's rich. Everybody's parents are rich. Everybody's in charge rich. So, you know, they really care about their people because rich people going to take care of each other. The Ivy League cancels winter sports for the 2020-2021 season. It's postponing spring sports until at least the end of February and won't conduct competition for fall sports during the spring semester. So they're not saying we're not going to do none of that stuff where we're going to put football in March. If we just didn't have football, we ain't having football. It's just it. We just missed the season. Sorry. This past week, we had like four SEC games postponed. Football was dead as hell. Like, it was some games. It was okay games. You know, here it up. But I wasn't excited. There was four SEC games that were postponed due to positive tests. Arizona State and Colorado was canceled. Herm Edwards and others had tested positive for COVID. And the game against Cal is canceled. Because the Suns did not have the minimum number of scholarship players available because they all got COVID. That's two games that's canceled. Two games for one school has at least been canceled. The Ohio-Miami game was canceled. Troy and Coastal Carolina have been postponed. Georgia Tech had at least two games canceled. They damn self. But Georgia Tech versus Pitt had been canceled and possibly rescheduled to December 12th due to coronavirus for both teams, not just Georgia Tech. Boise State was down 14 players against Colorado State due to COVID. Maryland, Ohio State was canceled because Maryland paused all team-related activities on Wednesday due to a high number of COVID positive tests within the program. UGA in Missouri was postponed. Like I said, LSU, Bama was postponed. Texas A&M, Tennessee, Auburn, and Mississippi State. Auburn paused all team activities with 9 players and 3 staff members this week. Memphis and Navy postponed because of COVID. Within the Navy, COVID has struck the Navy. Yeah. Arkansas, Louisiana, Monroe was postponed. And basketball programs all over ACC, SEC, Big 12. Everybody's pretty much, because this is going so rampant, everybody is pretty much delaying and postponing and pushing back. Because, you know, usually they have like Midnight Madness. They have all this stuff to introduce the basketball team and get you geeked up that basketball is about to come out. All of that. Well, they're pushing some of that stuff back. And I can honestly say, in terms of football, Saturday's Texas at Kansas game has been postponed. Saturday's UNLV Colorado State has been canceled. As of right now, Utah State, Wyoming canceled. Trying to find the number for this week. Okay. As of about an hour ago, according to Brett McMurphy of College Football Insider, according to Brett McMurphy, up to 81 games have been postponed this season. Up to 81 games. And I think it's something like 7 games this week that's going to be postponed or canceled. So, Conference USA, 12 of 13, 11 to 14 for the SEC. ACC, 11 to 15. AAC, 10 of 11. Sun Belt had 9. Pac-12 had 7. Mountain West, 6. Big 12, 5. Big 10, 5. And the MAC, 2. College football has to get this under control, because you already look like idiots before. You're looking more and more like idiots by the day. Everyone had their issues. Basketball was, NBA was probably the best one. They kept you in the bubble and gave everyone who came inside that bubble test. Baseball had an outbreak, but they managed to get it together. They managed to get it under control. Every now and then, you'll hear about someone being in the COVID protocol for the NFL. And that's just if you've come in contact with something who, something or someone who may have known, who you may know has COVID. But they seem to have it under control. And for those of you who say, oh man, it's just COVID, whatever, I don't care, it's just COVID, it ain't gonna kill them. Well, what's gonna happen? Clemson fan, who's quarterback has sat out a couple games because of COVID. What's going to happen if you can't get into the damn national championship tournament because your team lost the game and now they're on the outside looking in of the Final Four? What's going to happen if you're an Alabama fan? And I'm just using these names. I'm not predicting that any of this stuff is going to happen, but I'm just using some names. So what's going to happen? I'll take Alabama out of it. What's going to happen, big time university, when you're set to be, you're undefeated, you're set to be in the championship tournament, and 14 of your players are out with COVID? Still think it's cool? What's gonna happen? Or better yet, you're in the national championship game, and your coach and half the defense and your quarterback can't play because they all got COVID. I say all this stuff, and I'm hoping that you realize how dumb this stuff sounds, that you're willing to put people's lives and health at risk all for the sake of a championship. That's been the theme with college football. They don't give a damn about you. They don't give a damn about your family. They don't give a damn about your sister. They don't give a damn about your parents. They care about this money and this trophy. And in the end, that's all it's about. Just a little something to think on as we proceed throughout the rest of this college football season. Yes, I will be watching. Yes, I will be reporting. But I'm also going to tell you how I feel. And right now, I think this is ridiculous. So, again, this is the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. And we are going to move forward and talk about the NFL, man. You know, I don't have a lot of time. I don't want to have you sitting here listening to me for damn 3 hours ranting. But in the NFL, once again, I'm not even going to give, and this week, Reese, I don't think we're going to give them an I told you segment, because I think I told you, but one, I told you was, I told you weeks ago that this COVID thing was a bad idea for 20-year-olds to be on college campuses alone without supervision. And I say without supervision because these coaches aren't supervising them clearly. So I told you it was a bad idea. It didn't take a blind man to see it. Bad idea. Also, I told you weeks ago when we first started doing the picks, remember I was like 6 of 8 on the picks, and you know, people were saying, oh, that's pretty decent. And I said that it was terrible, that I would do better, and I did better. I think I was like 9 and 5 last week. And this past week, I believe I was above 500 again. Yes, 8 and 6. 8 winners, 6 losers. So real quick, man, I'm just going to go through, give you a couple little news notes. The madness of the NFL is such. If you didn't watch the game, New Orleans Saints were out here and they were playing. Drew Brees took a hell of a hit. And if you watched it, you saw that shit hurts as soon as he got hit. Like, I knew. I thought he was concussed because just me. I thought he was suffering a concussion. But he got up and he got carted off to the sideline and they brought him back. You know what I'm saying? And it still, he came back. He still wasn't playing very well. So he took himself out of the game. Like, literally goes to Sean Payton like, hey, man, this hurts. I can't go back and perform. Like, I can't. They take him to a doctor, and all that happened is Drew Brees suffered a collapsed lung and 5 fractured ribs. Yeah. You see why he walked off and was like, hey, man, I don't care what y'all finna do about this football, but you finna get it out of my damn hand. Collapsed lung, 5 fractured ribs. Now, I don't know if that's like the whole side, the whole rib cage on the left side, or I don't know if it's 3 over here, 2 over there. I don't know. But he got a total of 5 fractured ribs. And Jameis and Taysom Hill are going to go ahead and they're going to lead the charge from here on out. And, I mean, I think Jameis can do it. But I know they're going to mix in Taysom Hill because Sean Payton seems to love him. Even though they called him the future last year, and when Drew Brees got hurt last year, he didn't start a damn game. Like, Teddy Bridgewater was the starter, and they moved the ball pretty damn well. But looking ahead at the Saints' schedule, if you say Drew Brees, I think so. What happened was, like, a doctor told him, they said, okay, you might be out like a couple weeks. Yeah, I know. A couple weeks. Fractured ribs. Plural. Collapsed lung. And they talking about a couple weeks. So he went and got a second opinion. They told him the same thing, but they didn't tell him a couple weeks. They didn't give him a timeline. So Drew Brees is out, I would say, indefinitely. If I'm Drew Brees, I'm not rushing to get back out in them streets with y'all. I'm cool. But we'll see how far it goes. But I looked ahead to the next 5 games. The Atlanta Falcons, they play the Atlanta Falcons this week in New Orleans. They play Denver Broncos next. They come back to Atlanta to play the Falcons again. Then they go to Philly, and then they play the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, if they have managed to be at least 3-1, 2-2, I'd say, in those 4 games with the Falcons, Denver, and Philly, I would assume that that would be the game that they bring out Drew Brees to play against the Chiefs, because you have the Chiefs, Pat Mahomes, Drew Brees. It'll be a big-time game, and I think that would be the one they would bring out. That's just me. But even if it was just me, I wouldn't try them out, though. Like, we just rolled this thing with Jameis and Taysom, and you need to go ahead. Yeah, I agree, Reese. I've been saying it for a minute. Reese just sat here and said, you might as well retire. Yes. Especially considering the fact that you already, I think, signed a contract with like NBC to say, whenever I'm done playing football, I'm going to go ahead, transition over, and be a commentator. You already got the contract. So, yeah, I'll hang them things up. And New Orleans, you can have it. Anything else in the news of the NFL? Like I said, I was 8-6. Oh, I see. Okay, this is for Atlanta. Atlanta fans. So, Tack McKinley start popping. I want off the team. Trade me. Whatever. Atlanta didn't trade him. He made a big stink about they not trading him. And somewhere along the line, some idiot told him that Atlanta could have got a second round pick for Tack McKinley. And he ran with it. They could have got a second round pick. He put it all on social media, but these fools didn't do it. Okay. If we were offered a second round pick for Tack McKinley, I'm prone to believe that we would have done it three times over again. So what happened was the Falcons wind up waiving Tack McKinley. Right? And so to prove his point, to further his point, Cincinnati picked him up. Right? So you say, oh, okay, well, the Falcons might have been, you know, they might have been tripping a little bit. Might have should have got a little something for him, even if it wasn't nothing but a sack of footballs. You would get something. Well, the Bengals waived him. Just about the next day. He couldn't pass the physical. So now I see, as it's coming across the wire, that the San Francisco 49ers they're going to take a swing at him. They picked him up off waivers, and we'll see how that goes in the time, you know, from the time being. I don't know, understand how, if he couldn't pass a Bengals physical just a couple days ago, how he's going to pass the physical in San Francisco tomorrow. But neither here nor there. It's not for me. It's for San Francisco to figure out. I just thought I'd put that out there for you in the news. So, let's look ahead this week in the NFL. And this is the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. We're going to look ahead this week, make some predictions. And let's see what we got. So, coming up, damn near out of bounds. Stops, chunks, heaves it up. And I'm going to be honest with you, I ain't seen nothing but Bills players. I didn't. But he heaved it up. And guess who comes down with it? DeAndre Hopkins. As they win the game. And now they go again against Russell Wilson and the gang. And I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I don't know how this game is going to go. Just because the defense for the Seattle Seahawks has been spiraling and looking terrible. Arizona is, like I said, they have tremendous confidence right now with Kyler going. And so I have no choice but to pick Arizona over Seattle Thursday. I know. I've been telling you since you've been listening to this podcast, and Russ, I trust. Let Russ cook. All that stuff. Russ out here, he can't do so much, man. One man game. So, I'm taking Arizona. Atlanta against the New Orleans Saints. In New Orleans. You know what? Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, in New Orleans. I think the way Sean Payton is going to use Taysom Hill, the Falcons won't be able to adjust. They're going to put in a healthy mix of Jameis, Taysom, and they're going to beat Atlanta. It hurts me to say it. My heart just dropped. My stomach kind of hurts. So I'm going to have to move on to Detroit and Carolina. This is a game I think Carolina has lost like five or six in a row. I think they pick one up against Detroit. I think Carolina gets back together, and they win against Detroit. Tennessee against Baltimore. I'll take Baltimore. Miami over Denver. Green Bay over the Colts. Kansas City over the Raiders. Give me Philly over the Browns. I have to go Cincinnati over the Washington football team. Pittsburgh goes 10-0 as they beat Jacksonville. New England meets 500 as they beat the Houston Texans. I think the Chargers finally get a win because they're going to beat a winless New York Jets. Minnesota, give me Minnesota over Dallas. And finally, I'll take Tampa Bay over the Rams. Yes, Monday Night Football. I'm going with Tampa Tom over the Rams. So we'll see how it goes, man. We'll see what my predictions look like. I'm at least 5 games above 500 in my few weeks of picking. So we'll see how it goes. I appreciate you tuning in, checking out Commissioner's Conversation, Coffee and Kush Media, Media Kitchen, Boogie Music and Entertainment, Greenwood Whiskey, Carol Voice Media. I appreciate you for tuning in, checking out Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. Until next week, I'll holler.
Okay, bye.